Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to this April Fool's Day edition of Catholic Answers Live. For April Fool's Day, we got two of the wisest men we know for the program. Second hour, Mark Brumley's going to be here. Usually we do open forum with Mark Brumley, but Mark's actually going to tell us his story a little bit about how he came from being a nun to being a full-fledged Catholic, even a Catholic publisher. And when I say nun, I mean N-O-N-E. He never wore a habit and lived in a convent or anything like that. In this hour, we have Devin Rose, and he's going to talk to us about his brand new book, Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in Dark Times. Your calls are welcome at 888-318-7884. Maybe a month ago, the staff here at the Catholic Answers Radio Department had a meeting and said, what prank are we going to play for April Fool's Day on our audience? And I remember last year, Jerry was in for me, and he did a thing about how I wasn't coming back to Catholic Answers, which hurt my feelings kind of, but he did it. But we can't do a prank today. It's just not right. Like we're not going to do an April Fool's prank, are we, Darren? Tell me, no. You're looking very well, Darren. You look like a man who had a hamburger from Chili's last night. You look full and hearty and all that. Darren's birthday was yesterday, and if you were listening yesterday, you know that his wife got him takeout from Chili's. And he chose the elaborate birthday dinner of a hamburger. He didn't even get cheese on it. I don't know what's wrong with Darren, but did you get cheese? They canceled the order. Oh, my. I feel terrible for you, Darren. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. I don't want to, we're not trying to pick on Chili's or anything. I'm sure that they're under a lot of stress like everybody is right now, but Darren didn't even get his birthday burger. But he did get his wife gave him an exemption from his fasting from sugar, and he had ice cream. I know you had the ice cream, right? You did. Yeah, he had the ice cream. All right, 888-318-7884 is the number. We're trying, in addition to doing a program that brings you the usual apologetics with flair that we do. I just invented that. Apologetics with flair. We're also trying to be good company. So you try to be good company too. We're all trying to be good company to one another. Well, nobody's got any company. Well, everybody's alone. And a very good company in our first guest, Devin Rose. As I said, he has a brand new book, Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. He's also the author of many other things, including Navigating the Tiber and The Protestant Dilemma, which I think is his bestseller. Devin Rose, thank you for being with us.
Sai, it is great to be here, and I didn't even realize that I might be the April Fool's joke. Today.
No, you're actually on the show. This is not just a prank we're playing on you. You are live on the show. We need wise people for April Fool's Day. So I don't even know where April Fool's Day comes from. You probably know this. You know so much stuff, Devin. Do you know where?
You know, I don't, though I do think it might have some Catholic roots, but I'd have to look it up.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, okay, I'll look it up at the break. So you wrote this book, Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times, and you put it out 6 months ago. So how did you become a prophet about the how dark the times were going to become within 6 months?
Yeah, I didn't want to become a prophet. And when I wrote about those dark times, I was thinking more of the scandals that the church was enduring, the crisis there. Let alone did I realize that the whole world was going to be engulfed in this current crisis that we're in that would completely just consume our whole thoughts. But the great thing about it is the game plan for becoming a saint in any time, including these even darker times, is the same as it was for all the saints over the past 2,000 years. And so the lessons learned that I learned from the saints are still applicable, even more so now with what we're going through.
And so we'll talk about some of those lessons, and then we'll let callers call. 888-318-7884 is the number if you want to talk about how to become a saint in these dark times and how to be a Lionheart Catholic. That's the title of Devin Rose's brand new book, Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. So what did you learn from the saints about what, I wouldn't say their tricks are, but what are their tips? Their tips that you might pick up from saints about how to become a saint.
Yeah, so in this book, I've been Catholic now 20 years, and I recount story by story through many different trials that I encountered what I learned from the saints, how they overcame the trials and challenges that they faced, in hopes that every other Catholic will, in their own lives, see similar situations and realize that they can have this epiphany, speaking of wise men, where they can apply these lessons from the saints. So this is nothing more nor less than the practices and teachings of our Holy Catholic Church for the past 2,000 years. I call it the secret recipe of the saints because some of these ingredients are well known and most Catholics know about them, like read the Bible, pray the rosary. Okay, it's pretty standard. But there's other ones that have not been so well known that hopefully we can dig into, things like mental prayer and detachment and trust through trials and finding happiness not in this life but in the world to come. So these are the types of lessons that, especially in the crisis that we're facing now, I think will really help people, especially Catholics.
So let me just pull out mental prayer, because that one stuck out to me among those. Imagine the mental prayer many people are making right now is, Lord, help me not to kill these children. But that's not exactly what you mean.
No, though my wife's prayed that one, and I have
all
as well.
Dads have.
Yeah, everyone's a homeschooler now, and they understand what it's like. So mental prayer, I want to share about how I discovered this. So first, what is mental prayer? Mental prayer is the second level of prayer after vocal prayer. St. Alphonsus Liguori said, every saint became a saint through mental prayer. And when I encountered that quote, I thought, huh.
That is intense.
Well, I want to know what that is. And also, since I don't even know what it is, I'm probably not doing it. And that doesn't bode well if I'm trying to become a saint. Well, as I learned more about it, mental prayer is simply silent prayer in your heart with God. And you should do it every day, because all the saints did it every day. Huh. Okay. Simple enough. I needed something more, though. And what the problem that I hit in my life was, after 17 years as a Catholic, I had hit a spiritual plateau. I noticed every confession I was confessing the exact same sins. And just thought, is this kind of as good as it gets as a Catholic? I mean, I'm praying. I know my faith pretty well, I think.
Right.
And when I learned about mental prayer, this one priest said, you cannot progress in the spiritual life beyond a certain level unless you're practicing mental prayer, because it's the second level of prayer. And it is the stairway then to even higher levels of prayer that all the saints reached. So St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross, some of these great mystics whose prayer life has seemed way beyond mine. Well, I probably won't ever reach their heights, But by simply practicing mental prayer, I can take the next step. And when I started doing it, after many months of doing it, for the first time, when I went to confession, I confessed different sins and had overcome a few of those faults.
And maybe became aware of some that weren't presenting themselves to you as sins before that. Maybe more sensitive to those kinds of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so mental prayer, and I talk about it in the book, there's no like special technique. It's not some like technique that you have to follow. It is simply placing yourself quietly in God's presence. But there is a structure to it that most people find helpful. You typically choose some subject to meditate upon, like the resurrection or Christ giving his life on the cross or the perfections of Our Lady. And when you meditate on that subject, you naturally have these affections that arise in your heart, you know, maybe contrition for sin or gratitude to God, etc. That then leads into petition. So you silently in your heart are then asking God for the people and situations he's placed there. And so you're kind of moving through this all within God's presence. And then finally, at the end, you end with, you consider what your predominant fault is, and you take a concrete resolution for how you're going to combat that predominant fault in your life. And that's the general structure of mental prayer.
I love your book, because I just realized you don't have to reinvent the wheel in the spiritual life. What you're doing is you're telling people, there's people who've done this before. If you want to be holy, there's ways to do it.
Yes. And so, Si, whenever you said, like, here's a wise man, you know, my first thought is, you know, I don't know if I've ever had sort of one wise thought or original thought, certainly in my whole life. But we as Catholics don't have to. We only, and we get to, draw upon the wisest people who have ever lived. And that is that. And whenever I call this, I put secret in quotes in the books. I'm like, this isn't supposed to be secret. Every Catholic should know about this. And it's simply the fact that I think even most priests maybe never learned about some of these things like mental prayer, because I've never heard at Mass a homily where a priest talked about mental prayer and said, this is the second level and this is how you do it. Right. And I don't think that's because they're trying to, like, you know, hold it back. I think they were simply not taught it. And so now but you know, through the magic of the internet and everything else, right, we're now learning things and we're able to draw from that well ourselves.
888-318-7884 is the number. I have kept callers waiting, but I will keep you waiting no more. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with your questions. For Devin Rose on his book, Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. Times got a little darker since he wrote it, but often things are darkest just before the dawn. Who said that? I don't know.
Bono from U2.
Bono from you? Oh, really? If it's a good quote, you just throw it. You just attribute it to Bono. People used to do that to Abraham Lincoln. We'll just give that one to Abraham Lincoln. But now Bono has been elevated to that. All right, fair enough. A stitch in time saves nine, so we'll take a quick break. And then I'm just saying stuff now. 888-318-7884 is our number. And you can ask your questions about how to become a saint in these dark times to Devin Rose when we come back.
Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Second hour, Mark Brumley with us today. He's going to talk about his conversion from a nun to a Catholic, and we're going to talk about the theology and some ideas about how we can evangelize those who have no religious connections in the world today. Our first hour guest is also a convert. It's Convert Day today, and his name is Devin Rose, the author of many fine books, including his newest book, Lionheart, How to Become a Saint in, excuse me, Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. Our number is 888-318-7884. If you have questions about prayer, if you have questions about the practices of the saints, so that we can learn from those about how to be holy and so that we can learn the habits of holiness, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Devin, you ready to take some calls?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Michael in Seaside, Texas, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130. That's EWTN on Sirius, Channel 130. Your question, please. Michael?
Yes. I live by myself, and the temptations of flesh get to be a little hard to resist sometimes, and I'm just wondering, how did the saints avoid such things?
Wonderful, wonderful. So, just in case anybody didn't hear it, I mean, what are the tips from the saints on overcoming the sins of the flesh, especially when one lives a somewhat solitary life or lives alone? What are the tips for gaining the great good of chastity when there are so many things that assault against it?
Yeah, well, it just so happens, and I promise I didn't, even though that I'm also in Texas, I did not tell him to call in. There is a chapter in my book on just this subject. Now, a lot of the saints did things like flagellate themselves with whips. However, that's not one of the secrets I include in my book.
I feel so relieved to hear that. I appreciate that, Devin. Thank you. Not whipping yourself. I'm not saying that it hasn't done good, but you better. But there are so many caveats to put around that. I'm glad you didn't put that in your book.
Yes, I didn't. I didn't want to put anything in there that I myself had not tried. So I actually struggled with lust as well for many years, and in the book, I say that overcoming this vice is incredibly difficult, especially if it's had years or decades to take root. Two secrets of the saints helped me a lot with this. One was from St. Thomas Aquinas. The other was from Pope St. John Paul II. So beginning with JP2, I discovered his Theology of the Body work. And in reading it, came to understand how God made us as male and female, and that love is self-gift, and how the heart is a battleground between love and lust. So having that framework, which I did not have before because I was an atheist or had been an atheist growing up, was very helpful for understanding this is the proper ordering of how things should be because of the fall of man, and even with concupiscence remaining, this is why I struggle with this. So it helped me to understand that. Now, drawing back 800 years ago, with St. Thomas Aquinas, he talked about the virtues, and a virtue sitting in the middle between two different vices. He also discussed that self-mastery in one area helps you become self-mastered in other areas. And therefore, one of the things that I started trying to practice to overcome this was, I'm going to master myself when it comes to eating, when it comes to holding my tongue and speaking, patience, when it comes to all these different other areas, working hard, right? Facing my fears. And what I noticed then was almost like the tide, the rising tide lifting all boats, I began to be able to grow in self-mastery in the area of chastity. So that at a high level is what enabled me ultimately to see through the lie that was lust and how it was a sham and didn't lead to true fulfillment as love did.
How does that help you, Michael?
Greatly, thank you.
Sure, Michael. I also should say the book Lionheart Catholic: How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times is available at very reasonable cost. This was important to you, Devin, to make the book available to people at a very reasonable price so that it's accessible to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he wants to drive from Seaside to Austin area, I'll hand him a book. But if not,
not now, only, social distancing, don't hand him the book.
I'd consider it an essential activity, as defined by the governor. but yeah, the book I offer at the cost of printing and shipping, which is currently $7.95, though the shipping has been going up. So, yeah, you can get the book at lionheartcatholic.com, and I will ship it out to you for the bare minimum cost.
Thank you very much, Michael. Lionheart Catholic is the book, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. Our guest is Devin Rose, and it's a very practical thing that he has done. He has taken the wisdom of the saints, said what actually worked for them, what actually worked to help them achieve sainthood, and put it together in a book for you and for me. And times got darker in the days since he wrote it, but that's just more opportunity for it to be a saint, I suppose. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Josh in Maryland is next. Josh is watching on YouTube Live. Josh, your question for Devin.
Hi. My question is, how do you do a perfect act of contrition if you're not able to go to confession?
Start now. Start working on it now. It's going to take a while. Okay, so the idea is if you make a perfect act of contrition, you can be fully restored to friendship with God, even if you were in a state of mortal sin, and then you go to confession after that. But how do you do that? How could you make a perfect act of contrition?
Yeah, great question. And obviously, in this time where many of us are deprived of the sacraments, including confession, that is a very timely question. I'll be honest, leading up to this time, I had read before in the church's teachings and the catechism, which is an ingredient of the saints, the catechism and the teachings of the church, that a perfect act of contrition would even lead to the forgiveness of mortal sin. That said, because I had never been in this situation being deprived of confession, I thought of it more as a hypothetical or theoretical situation. And now we're in that situation. Because of that, I would say that I think that, you know, God, who is merciful and wise, understands in our heart that we want to go to confession, especially if we've committed a grave sin. And so when we confess to him, he knows that we are offering our best to him. So when you confess, the pattern that I would follow is actually using the traditional act of contrition that many of you already know. My God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee. I dread the loss of heaven and pains of hell, right? So I'm afraid of hell, but most of all, because they offend thee, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. So in other words, it's not just fear of hell, which is a motivation to not, you know, want to be punished. But the highest motivation is for the love of God, who is deserving of my very best, right? And then finally, that resolution that I want to sin no more and avoid the near occasion of sin. So in making a confession of the specific sins you committed, following that formula and with the act of contrition, meaning it with all your heart as best you can, and then resolving as soon as you're able to go to confession, sacramental confession, and confessing that sin, that is the best that I could tell you.
Now, Josh, how is that for you?
Sounds good. Just one quick question. After you say that prayer and mean it, could you try to sign yourself some penance or something? Or something like that.
Oh, should you assign yourself a penance if you've made an act of contrition? I'm really grateful for this question, Josh, because so many people cannot get to confession. I saw a map of the U.S. this morning, and there's a lot of dioceses where they're not even permitting confession. So I'm sure there are many people who have an anxiety about wanting to make an act of contrition, wanting to be fully restored to friendship with God and have the confidence that they are fully restored. So should a person, once they have done what you just described, Devin, assign themselves a penance?
I don't know of any sort of church requirement to do so. That said, I think it would be a very salutary thing to do to choose a penance, especially one that was maybe appropriate to the sin that you committed. Not only that would show that you were contrite and sorry for it, but also that could help you to avoid it in the future. So I would say go for it without falling into the trap of scrupulosity, where
yes, you're
really getting so worried that you're not going to be forgiven by God, and I'm going to go and self-flagellate myself or whatever it might be, right? Don't fall into that trap.
Does that seem like a trap you might fall into, Josh, or do you think you could be reasonable and prudent in assigning yourself a penance?
Very new to Catholicism, but I could probably figure it out.
Yeah, I'd go easy rather than go heavy. You can find a spiritual advisor after all this is over. If heavy is needed, they'll assign it. But I would say light better than heavy. It's funny, like the Pharisees, Jesus accuses them of laying heavy burdens on others, but a lot of times the scrupulous person lays such heavy burdens on themselves that they would never lay on another person.
Yeah, yeah, and I tend towards scrupulosity, so I can understand where you could be coming from. That's definitely a fear I've had and gotten really worried about. Am I forgiven or not? And especially in this situation, the number one thing is we trust in the great mercy of God.
Thank you, Josh, for your question. You feel satisfied with the answers?
Yes, I think I'm good. Appreciate it.
Well, you are good. God made you good, and He loves you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the call, Josh. Really appreciate that. 888-318-7884 is the number. I think my problem if assigning myself a penance is that then I would argue. I'd be like, no, that's too hard. And then I'd be like, no, you can do it. And then I'd be like, no, you know, because I'm just rebellious like that. Devin Rose is our guest. His book is Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. If you have questions about how to become a saint, really practical tips for becoming a saint, we'd be happy to help. Devin's here to help. 888-318-7884.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We kind of got a theme for the day today. It's Wednesday, and it's Convert Day. We have a convert from atheism in Devin Rose, now Catholic author and Catholic app developer, and just a guy who shares the faith in every way that he can, including by being loving and generous and kind when he's driving. Right, Devin? Is that
something like that?
Okay, all right. We're just discussing driving at the break, and it's weird. I was just saying to Devin, it's weird how you get in a car, and it like somehow you have permission to be angry at people that you would not give yourself permission to be angry at them at any other time. And I may be the only person who suffers from this, but it's weird. It's weird how a car changes your personality. Anyway, if you've got questions about, you know, tips from the saints on how to be a holy person in these times, look, it was easier on a lot of them than it is on us today because they didn't have cars. They didn't get into a car and immediately become mad at other drivers. I feel like St. Peter's life was a lot easier than mine for that reason. Would you say that's reasonable, Devin?
Yeah, he had to, you know, control the sword in his hand from just beating people down. But other than that,
I've never hit anybody with a sword. I am so I don't want to be self-congratulatory about that. If I had one in the car, I would. 888-318-7884, the number. Lionheart Catholic, how to be a saint in these dark times. Up next is John in Nebraska listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. John, your question for Devin.
My question is a little bit political, but it has to do with being a saint.
Okay.
I just want to say, Lionheart, it's an interesting name for the title. My question is how could someone even attempt to be a saint today if they're not even taking basic steps in improving healthcare standards for poor people? And I know I've heard a lot of the same old, Jesus says the poor will always be with you. But there's also another passage in the Bible that I heard someone say this weekend. I can't remember what it was. I don't know if it was Isaiah, but it was something along the lines of, it's something, you're evil if you don't help poor people or something. I don't know. Craig,
That sounds like a paraphrase, but it does sound like Isaiah. And actually, John, you say it's political, but I'm very sympathetic to your question because there is a social dimension to the gospel. There is a you can talk all you want about how deep your prayer life is, but if you don't love other people, you miss the point of the whole thing. So, but John phrased it in terms of healthcare. So how could you be a saint and not be doing what you can to make sure that the poor have healthcare? Devin.
Right. Taking it face value, the Catholic Church teaches the corporal works of mercy, and it involves caring for the sick, right? So the Church talks about the preferential option for the poor. There's various religious orders whose sole purpose is to help the poor and even help them with health care. So I think for me, there's certainly nothing in our Catholic faith that's contrary to the idea of helping people in their basic needs, like medical care. Now, what any one Catholic is called to do with regard to helping poor people with medical care, I think, is a different question.
Okay.
I'm a computer programmer who works at a robot company and who hopes that he doesn't, lose his job in this economic crisis. Well, I'm not exactly sure, what I can do right now when I'm supposed to keep distance away from everyone to help a poor person or even a rich person with their health care.
Okay, John dropped. I think he was just listening off line. But thank you. Thanks very much, John, for the question. I thought that was a pretty reasonable question. You work for a robot company, though? We can't just go past this. Is that what you do? You make robots?
Yes, technically I make software for robots, but it is a robot company.
So you make the Skynet. That's what you're working on. Other people are working on the hardware. You're building Skynet.
One time I said that I was doing that, and my bosses told me to remove that from the job description immediately. And that's not a joke. People who build Skynet don't want other people to know that you're building it. We do have a deep learning team and an artificial intelligence team, and I do work with them to try to bring their algorithms to life.
I don't even know what to say. I'm talking to the man. He's a good Christian man too, and he's building Skynet. This is terrifying. 888-318-7884, the number. The book is Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. And we do. Why did you pick that? That's interesting. John mentioned it, but why did you pick that word, Lionheart? I mean, what about that? Is that of that image of the of having the heart of a lion as a Catholic appealed to you and made you? You said that's the title.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised John thought that it was a weird title because I thought it was a great title.
He didn't say weird. He said interesting.
He said interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what he meant by that.
To me, what's needed during this time of both crisis within the church, but also crisis in the world, are lion-hearted Catholics, meaning it takes during this time to be a Catholic and follow the faith, especially with all that we're facing. It takes courage. It takes a noble heart, perseverance, fortitude. And to me, that's what a lion heart is. So that's why I called it that. I actually was hoping that I could get a Episcopal sort of patron for it. And I thought of Archbishop Cordeleone,
yes,
which means lion heart. And I thought, my goodness, he's got the best name.
I know.
Well, there's the
it's
Father
a good
Consul
name for him.
Mesa also, but yeah, go ahead.
No, that's a good name for Archbishop Cordeleone because he is a lion hearted man. He's kind of fearless. I admire him a great deal. Wait, Cantala Mesa, what were you going to say about?
The other great name is Cantala Mesa, which is sings the Mass.
I didn't know that's his name. He's such a great preacher. He's the preacher of the. I don't know if he still is.
Yeah, I don't know either. But he was back with
the preacher of the papal household. That. Yeah. Did you know he preached to the? He was invited to preach to the Baptist convention of Baptist preachers. Actually, he gave a talk about preaching to Baptist preachers, and I read I read one of the Baptist preachers afterward said, that was one of the most humbling experiences of my life. I think maybe he had never been exposed to Catholic preaching. Well, and many of us who have been exposed to Catholic preaching, it has not been the most inspiring thing that ever happened to us. But that's not Father
Cantala Mesa.
Cantala Mesa, yeah. All right, I'm digressing. It's easy to digress with you, Devin, especially now that I know you're building Skynet. Mark, in West Virginia, listening on Light of Life Catholic Radio, which is now my favorite name for a Catholic radio station. Love that. Mark, your question for Devin.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much for taking my call. And Devin, I've definitely got to get your book. But I just wanted to tell Devin that I have prayed probably for 3 years, telling Jesus, okay, Jesus, I want to be the saint you created me to be, which has led me on an incredible spiritual journey. But also, I read a book, on Venerable Bruno Lanteri. And one of the things that Venerable Bruno says all of his writing is to just when you fall and sin, just get up again. And if you can't get to confession immediately, which I guess is the time we're in now, to just continually get up and start over again and do a work of mercy to demonstrate your love for God. And so that's just pretty much all I wanted to say. But I would definitely have got to get your book.
Well, I would send it to you, but we're a little hampered in that department. We can't send out free books right now, but you can get it.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to go to the website and purchase it.
No, yeah, I didn't mean to accuse you of like trying to weasel a free book out of us. I'm just saying we can't really send them out right now. But just go to lionheartcatholic.com, and you'll find it there at cost to Devin because he wants people to have really an instruction manual from the saints on how to be a saint. Would that be a fair way to characterize it, Devin?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I really appreciate that prayer that you pray. Matter of fact, I think that's one of the best prayers that you can pray. Lord, make me the saint that you have created me to be. And in each of our lives, part of Lionheart Catholic is, in each of our lives, we can be assured that God will put into we might think of them as obstacles or challenges or trials, but he will put into place all of the things that we need in order to become a saint. And St. Thomas More said, nothing can happen to me, no matter how bad it may seem, that God did not will and ultimately will for my good. And of course, St. Thomas More was ultimately executed by his former friend, King Henry VIII. And yet he remained faithful to our Lord and trusted that even if it seemed bad, this was going to be for my good. And he is a saint martyr of the church.
Mark, when you said it's been an adventure for you, has that been the adventure that you have found that God actually does give you the things that you need to progress in holiness when you ask him to give those things to you?
Oh, yes. My life is completely turned around. I volunteer for Catholic Radio, and I work with the homeless, and I do like several other things, which I'd never even dreamed of. You told me this 5 years ago, I'd have told you you were crazy.
Yeah, well, I was crazy 5 years ago, but I'm much better now. But Mark, thank you for sharing that. That's magnificent. And I think that Devin, I think you have found a compatriot here, because this is the same journey that you are on and want to encourage people to be on, the one where you, in your heart, turn to Jesus and let him make you a saint.
Yeah, absolutely. And it looks different for each of us because all our lives are different. But like you said, I felt the same way. I would not recognize, you know, myself if I saw myself from 10 years ago. And that's hopefully going to be true for each of us, because we're going to be transformed from the inside out by the grace of God.
Mark, thank you for that call. Callers, we got another segment with Devin, so don't worry. We're going to get to you when we come back. If you'd like to get in and get a question or comment in for Devin Rose, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. The book we are discussing is available at lionheartcatholic.com. It is by Devin, and it's titled Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. Right now, I didn't know this, but we're still giving away the prayer book in April. I thought it was going to end. So that's exciting. The 20 Answers Prayer is still available. Just go to shop.catholic.com and you get a free ebook copy of our 20 Answers Prayer. And we're maybe finding more time and more opportunity and more cause for prayer these days. And it's just a wonderful little book by two of the finest priests I know. 20 Answers Prayer over at shop.catholic.com. You get the free ebook just by clicking the banner. And if you go get it now, you'll have read it just in time for Easter and the Triduum and the deepest time of the church's prayer life. Right back with more Devin Rose right after this.
Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Father Robert Spitzer.
First of all, you will get a much deeper awareness of your faith, much deeper awareness of the evidence for your faith, explanations of tough theological issues, how science and reason and faith come together, and above all, a deeper awareness of how to practice your faith and how to live it.
Father Spitzer's Universe with Father Robert Spitzer. Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, trying to give you good answers, but also trying to be good company right now, because we've got to be good company to one another, because we can't have company over. 888-318-7884, the number. Devin Rose, our guest. He's the author of Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. Up next is Lawrence in Kansas City, Missouri. Lawrence, your question for Devin Rose.
Yes, my question is, since the majority of the people that the great Apostle Paul wrote to in his epistle were called saints, what is that your program about? Since Paul recognized most of the church members that he wrote to as saints. Why did he call them saints?
Right. Because Paul does refer to virtually every Catholic believer as a saint. Is that what you're referring to, Lawrence?
No. I was asking why did Paul call most of the people he wrote epistles to saints already? How did they become saints?
Okay, so fair enough. How did the people who Paul wrote to, who he does refer to as saints, become saints?
Because he called them saints.
He did indeed. You're right. Devin?
Right. So we see in the Bible, in the the usage in Scripture of the word saints, it's referred to as the people who are Christians, right, and who've been baptized and they're members of the church, they're following Jesus. They're referred to as saints. Over the past 2,000 years, the church has recognized that just as you have the church militant here on earth, the church triumphant in heaven, the church suffering in purgatory, that you have sort of these different eras, if you will, or periods in the journey of being a saint. And that includes here on earth, right, the church militant, where we're fighting the battle against sin and temptation and darkness. And then ultimately, God willing, by the mercy of Christ, we are welcome to heaven. And we don't stop being saints then. We actually are saints in heaven and can pray for all the saints in the making on earth. So it's just the development of that word over the course of 2,000 years of Christ Church.
Does that satisfy you, Lawrence?
Well, my point is that Paul, he went to these churches, he didn't give any particular special category like you have now in your church of people called saints. They were just called saints. Why do you have this special category now?
Right. Okay. It's a fair point. So I assume you're not a Catholic, Lawrence. Is that correct?
No, I'm Protestant.
Yes. Okay. So we as Catholics have this category that we call saints, and we have this whole process of canonizing saints and all that. And my take is that Lawrence is saying that is not consistent with the way the word saint is used by St. Paul.
Yeah, I'd say it's not opposed to the way that it's used by St. Paul. Yes, the canonization process and whatnot, which has changed over the past 2,000 years in various ways, is not codified in the Bible. Of course, for us as Catholics who don't go off the Bible alone as the sole infallible rule of faith, that's not a requirement, but that is something that many Protestants believe in with sola scriptura. And for that, Lawrence, I'd recommend my book, The Protestant's Dilemma, because I claim that you have a dilemma that you need to learn about and resolve. And I say that in a kind way and not in a mean way.
Lawrence, we will leave it there. Thank you very much for the call. Devin Rose is our guest. We are talking about how to become a saint in these dark times. The way that the subtitle works here of your book, Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times, it suggests that, it might be easier to become a saint if the times weren't so dark. But that's exactly backwards, Devin. The darkness of the times actually provides us opportunity, right?
Yeah, there is that almost, I guess, famous meme where it says that easy times makes for weak men. And then, weak men then make for basically bad times that make strong men. So we do have the opportunity to rise to the challenge, and it might get even harder, right? If we don't have all the creature comforts and luxuries, if we hit a recession, a depression, we've never experienced that in our life. Maybe our grandparents have, but yes, that's the metal is, tested in the fire and is purified and strengthened through it.
A lot of people today, today, not in our general era, but today, are expressing a great deal of fear, anxiety, upset. I think we don't usually feel as close to death as we do right now. And even if we're not concerned about our own death, almost everyone has relatives where they're like, well, I don't, if Uncle Bob gets it, Uncle Bob's got a bad heart or bad lungs or diabetes or something. But even healthy people are succumbing to this disease to some degree. What might the saints that you consult for this book, Lionheart Catholic, what might they have to say, or what might these tools be, the tools they would draw upon in times of anxiety and closeness to death? That's even though we're not in historic terms very close to death with in historic terms, in some eras, you made it into your 40s or your 30s, or that was more common. But we're not there. But still, certainly we're feeling a sense of the proximity of death in a way that is not comfortable for us. In our, we had the sense that no, we had all of that stored away for later.
Yes, I mean, great question. And even though, yes, we live longer now, and this won't, you know, kill all of us or most of us, it's very personal for a lot of us with our loved ones. In the book, I share the story of my daughter who, when she was 4 years old, got leukemia. And thanks be to God, it's 3 years later and she is in remission, but she has essentially a permanently weakened immune system. So she's one of those people who, what would happen if she gets this virus? I don't know, but I want to protect her from it.
Right.
That said, you know, with leukemia and my daughter, and I share the story in the book, we faced a life-threatening disease that we had very little control over, right? Just like with this virus, you don't know what it's going to happen. You don't know what leukemia will do or cancer will do. And some of the lessons I learned from the saints, one was detachment. So detachment from being excessively attached to the material things of this world, to fame, wealth, honors, or even to this life, right? They might take all my money. They might take everything. With regard to our daughter, one of the secrets of the saints was to, we did our best. We did everything that we could, but then we released control and left the results in God's hands. In other words, we recognized God is the author of life. He's in control of this. Yes, we're going to do everything possible to help her to survive this. We're going to do everything possible if one of our loved ones gets this virus. But at the end of the day, when we've done everything that we can, our lives are in his hands. We're not the ones ultimately in control. And finally, another secret of the saint was from Saint Bernadette. When Our Lady appeared to Saint Bernadette and said, I can't promise you happiness in this life, but only in the one to come. And that's a very sobering secret of the saint. But Saint Bernadette, you know, got basically tuberculosis in her body and died in her 30s after a very difficult life.
Yeah.
Yet she's happy in heaven now, and she lived a holy and faithful life on earth, which is what we are called to do.
Again, 888-318-7884. Our number, Devin Rose, is a convert to the Catholic faith. Is the author now of quite a few very fine Catholic books, some of them written for Catholic Answers Press. His latest book, Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times, available at cost to Devin. He didn't want to make money off of this. He wanted to get it to as many people as he could. He doesn't need the money. He's designing Skynet. That's a very well-paying job. So he just wants to get it out to you, and you can get it at lionheartcatholic.com. Lionheartcatholic.com. Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. Devin, are there any that you would, any of these kind of tips from the saints that you would, that we haven't touched on yet that are precious to you, you want to make sure we touch on before we go?
Yeah, I mean, good question. So I want to make clear, in the book, I list 20 different secrets of the saints. This is not an exhaustive list. Matter of fact, I want people to add to this list. And one of my readers sent me a message and said, I think that you missed one. You missed spiritual direction. And I told him, I said, I think spiritual direction should absolutely be one. And that's we'll put that one as number 21. The only problem is nowadays it can be hard to find a good spiritual director, especially a priest who has the time, since our priests are so overloaded. Oftentimes. So there's a bunch here that go from how can you be the best parent that you can, following St. John Bosco's example of warm authenticity so that your children will remain Catholic. There's Eucharistic adoration. Close to Catholic Answers' mission, two of the ingredients, apologetics, so being able to defend your faith, and graciousness when under fire. And some of the great saint apologists I mention are St. Edmund Campion, who we named our son after, and St. Francis de Sales. You know, so we can learn so many of these secrets, and they're integral to our life as a Catholic to become a saint. And they're secrets, right? Only in the sense of not all Catholics know about them. We want to share them with all Catholics. And you know, that's what Catholic Answers is doing every single day is revealing all of the secrets of defending the Catholic faith so that you know them.
Yeah, in a certain sense, the whole Catholic faith is a secret to the modern world, not because anybody's hiding it, but because people don't see right in front of them this magnificent doorway into the fullness of life.
Yeah, and you know, one of our neighbors who moved on the street, and they were not Catholic, and our street happens to have three Catholic families on it, including ours. Well, they have young children. We're all playing together, and she, as she was learning more about the Catholic faith, said, "This is something that I want to do," and she's just entered RCIA.
Yes.
As we speak.
That's witness, and that's what we're all called to do. Just live the joy of the Catholic faith and invite others to it by your living and by your own words. A lot of great words, a lot of great advice and help in Devin Rose's new book, Lionheart Catholic, How to Become a Saint in These Dark Times. You can get it at lionheartcatholic.com. Devin, thank you very much. It's always great, and you were good company in addition to giving good answers today.
The best social engagement I've had all day.
Very good. All right. I'm glad to hear it. Up next, another convert, Mark Brumley, is going to talk about his conversion to the Catholic faith from having really no religion at all. Not an atheist, just no religion at all. And he wants to help you to evangelize those in your life who have no religion at all. That'll be next on Catholic Answers Live.
Teachings for an Unbelievable World is a newly discovered work written by St. John Paul II, then Archbishop Karol Wojtyla of Krakow, in the years just after Vatican II. This is the first English-language publication of this important work. In this hardcover book that Scott Hahn calls one of the greatest hidden treasures unearthed in our time, 13 brief homilies provide compelling teaching for Catholics in today's post-Christian world and give fresh insights into JP2's pontificate. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code JP2Teachings, that's JPIIteachings, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.